Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business. Motorcycle, boat, from the best in the business. They'll not only find you the right insurance so you're covered, they'll do everything they can to also get you the best price. And on top of that, they'll update policies because customer service means everything to the great people at Purdy Insurance, who from their family to your family wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, which means everything. Fabulous sales staff that works with you today. And right now is a great time for trade-ins. And a great service department. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. And again, from the great people at Sunbury Motors, from their family to your family, a happy Thanksgiving. All right, let's get to our play-by-play call of the day.
Third and goal at the 8. Vayu rolls right, looks, waits, delivers back in the end zone. Caught, touchdown, Penn State, Jahan Dotson. The first career touchdown pass for Christian Vayu gives the Nittany Lions the lead.
Christian Vayu's first career touchdown pass. As our play-by-play call of the day. All right, so, well, let's get to it.
Steve, no problem.
Well, Saturday was interesting in a lot of ways. When it was over and you started hearing the stories of how the week played out, what did you think?
I thought I was glad that face mask policy was still involved.
Yeah.
Going on down on the field.
Yeah.
No, we heard, like, you know, obviously James had mentioned it Wednesday.
Yes.
Said that a couple of the offensive linemen were dealing with it. So we go into the stadium. I know I expected there'd be a few guys out. And then to hear 35 players were affected, and, you know, you knew something was up when Clifford wasn't at the out for warm ups and was right. he barely made it to the lineup to get out there for the senior day ceremony. So you knew this at that point. This had been something that had kind of ripped through. So I thought it was a pretty good example of this team doesn't give up. I mean, they might not, you know, there might be some questionable play calls now and then, some questionable execution. They might lose a few too many close games, but these guys keep playing hard, and you know, I don't think there was any kind of drop off in play. The backups came in, and you know, where they needed them, showed that they were capable. They obviously played great, and they win a game against Rutgers that a lot of people thought was going to be close, even if they were 100% healthy. So I thought that was a good sign for Penn State and its future. But yeah, that's nuts when you hear. You hear some of these guys talking about all the IVs and how it looked like a hospital ward or a MASH unit or whatever. And, you know, some of these guys who played, I think we're pretty lucky they got to play.
Well, some of this obviously I expected, not all of it, but some of it I did. Jack Ham and I were calling out names that we normally call out in the blue-white game. I mean, that's how we looked at it.
Yeah, I mean, there were. I had to look up that Jimmy Chris came in the game, and no offense to Jimmy Chris, he's a good prospect. I'm like, who is this guy?
Right. Yeah.
51. I guess 51 hadn't played all year, and it was Jimmy Chris. And I know, you know, we knew we had to check to make sure it was Mason Stahl who came in the game at the end there. And yeah, there was a lot of situations like that where there was a guy out there you were watching for the first time ever. So that made it a little bit from our perspective, and I'm sure yours, you know, exciting to see some of these guys, you know, see what they could do in game action. But there was a lot of that on defense, and especially on the offense. The offensive line was kind of fun because you saw guys, you know where everybody could play because everybody played a bunch of different positions, it seemed like.
What was your thought on Christian Vega's first real performance?
So, I always say I watch quarterbacks. It's what I like to do when I'm watching a game because, you know, I'm familiar with it. I kind of enjoy the position. He's got something. Yeah, I don't know. You know, you take a lot of factors involved here. It's Rutgers. You know, they weren't prepared for him to play. They had never seen him, just like everybody else. So they didn't know what he was about. But he's got the it factor. I mean, they had that picture of him giving the peace sign when he jumped out of bounds on that one play.
Yeah.
And I was just telling somebody, you know, I don't know. I don't know if you could define what a quarterback needs, like where you get to that kind of moxie to play the position, but that's it in that picture. I mean, he had it. He displayed it the whole game. He was lowering shoulders when he was running. I didn't think that was a great idea all the time, but he got away with it. I thought his passes were, you know, were on target. I mean, he didn't look like he was one of the guys battling the flu,
yeah.
So he missed the practice,
yes.
At least.
Yeah.
But you know, he looked accurate. He was giving his receivers chances to make plays. He was, his line looked pretty good. You know, they were blocking hard for him, but he was able to move around the pocket. I just think there's a lot to build on with the kid, and you know, the numbers are almost secondary. There's just that feeling you get when the quarterback's in, and I get it. He's the backup quarterback, and they're always popular guys. But
yes, immensely.
But he looked like a guy who could someday be the starter, and you'd be happy with that. And I think, you know, driving into the stadium, I don't think a lot of people thought that way about him. I think they thought he was kind of still this wild card, and you know, they're getting a couple of quarterbacks in the upcoming recruiting class, and those guys are going to be pretty good someday. They'll be the future. But I think a lot of people just didn't know what to think about this kid. You know, hadn't played, you know, since his junior year of high school, and I thought he looked, he's got every tool. I think Kent State fans should be excited about him.
Yeah, obviously did a lot of things really well in the game. In fact, it was interesting. It was a great day for Canada.
Yeah.
Vayu, Mega gets a touchdown. Sutherland gets an interception. Theo Johnson had a couple of catches. Luketa made some defensive plays. It was a pretty good day for Canada and recruiting Canada.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was. Yeah. So I brought my intern from the office. That was the game he got to cover this year. So we always try to get the intern down for one, and he's asking me about some ideas for his story that he gets to write. And I said, how about you do something on these guys from Canada? And he said, oh, is that a big deal? And I said, yeah, it's a big deal. You know, you don't see these guys, you know, you don't see Canada represented in games, all that, especially with five guys doing something significant. And, you know, I think it's the way it played out. I don't think Vayu was out there looking to get Malik Mega involved, but there he was on a wide open. I don't know how he got that open, but, yeah. You know, Vayu saw him and hits him, and Theo should be used a bit more than he's been used, I think, at times. And he got involved, and obviously Sutherland, I was happy for him. He had a nice game. You know, that he hasn't had a, you know, this season's been not as easy for him, I think, as people think, making the transition from safety to linebacker. He's done a good job with that. And Luketa, the same thing. You know, he didn't have great numbers, but he had himself a really good game. So I think they all played pretty well. It's a great sign for their country that there's plenty of talent up there. They just don't have, you know, the depth of teams that we have here at the high school level. But I think Penn State's done a really good job, maybe better than anybody else in the country, recruiting, you know, getting the top level prospects out of there and coming down here and doing being able to contribute. And I think, you know, and even if Vayu didn't play, you know, those four other guys that had big roles.
Right. No, no question about it. Michigan State played Saturday, and I'll be honest with you, the expected happened. I expected that result, and I expected it to be not close. That's why I didn't even bother watching game day. I thought it's kind of a waste of time. It's a bad matchup. What do you think now about this matchup on Saturday at Michigan State? Now, part of it's going to depend on who's available, but you do have a full week here.
Yeah, it's going to be who's available for both sides, because Michigan State's really – not only did they get killed in the game, they got banged up, which is not a good combination. I mean, they might not have their left tackle, might not have their middle linebacker, might not have one of their, their top receiver. And Walker's limping out there with I think he had an ankle injury of some kind. So both sides are really kind of banged up here, and there's some question marks. Yeah, I think this is such an interesting matchup because, I think it's one of those deals where, Michigan State has a lot to play for, but they've lost two out of three. This was a team that thought it could sneak into the playoff out of nowhere. Nobody believed they could do that coming into the season. But that kind of disappointment is settling in maybe for them this week. Are they gonna play well? Are they gonna play hard? But they have a lot to play for. They could still go to the Fiesta Bowl, the Peach Bowl, something like that. But they're gonna have to overcome some of these injuries. But the thing is, and I think it kind of touches on what you said when you're opening there. This is not an overly talented team.
No.
They played well. They went on a run and they showed you what you could do when you don't make mistakes. But they started to make some mistakes and they started to get out talented. And I think Penn State has more talent. I think they have more talent even with some of the injuries. So it'll be very interesting if Penn State could force a couple of turnovers and maybe shut down Walker a little bit. He did not look good last week. Even in the handful of carries he had, he was shut down a bit. So I think this is a the Vegas odds. I think that they're always a little bit telling. I think Penn State's a favorite in some circles on the road against the team that has a chance to go to a selection committee game there. So I think this is a situation where Penn State could maybe get themselves feeling a little better than they did after the Michigan and Ohio State games, where they were one play away against a really good team from winning and they didn't get it done. But now here, I think they have a chance to out-talent this team too.
Donnie, always a pleasure. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, by the way.
Same to you, Steve.
Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. Always great to have Donnie on the show. And again, happy Thanksgiving to each and every one of you out there. Cannot begin to tell you how grateful we are for each and every one of you. We'll get into more of that as the week goes along, but my goodness, we can't do this unless we've got awesome people like you, right? Can't. People want to hang in and listen to us do radio. Can't even begin to tell you what it means to us that you actually take your valuable time and you think we're worth a listen. Thank you so much. So Thanksgiving, we are very thankful for each and every one of you. Back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The weather is getting cooler and the leaves are changing in central PA. Hi, this is Season from Purdy Insurance. If your current agent is falling short, it's time to give Purdy Insurance a call. We're a local, family-owned independent agency ready to find the right insurance to fit your needs. You can call us at 570-286-5855, stop in our office on Market Street in Sunbury, or head to our website at purdyinsurance.com to find out what we can do for you.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Thanks to Donnie Collins, who joined us on the show today from the Scranton Times Tribune. Also, Corey Geiger from DKSports.com. Penn State basketball tonight, 6:30, 6 o'clock the airtime. Dick Girardi joins me for the broadcast here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And then Saturday will be a 3:30 kickoff. That means we'll be on at 2 o'clock on Saturday from Spartan Stadium in East Lansing. I think if for anybody who was listening on Friday, I think you know that I thought that Ohio State and Michigan State would be a non-competitive game. And I didn't see it. It's one thing, you watch teams, and when you do, part of that is then you look at the numbers. Now, I want to watch them first, then look at the numbers. I'd rather make my own judgments. I'm like, okay, I'm not so crazy about their back seven. That's your initial, you watch them. Then you look at the numbers. Oh, my goodness, they're giving up yards left and right defensively. I mean, like, those are not the numbers of a team. You know, I'm talking about pass defense. Those are not the numbers of a team that is ranked in the top 10 in pass defense. That doesn't mean they have guys back there that can't play. Williams, the transfer from Alabama, can certainly play. Henderson certainly can play. I mean, they got some guys that can play. Noah Harvey, an inside linebacker, is playing a lot more now. It's not like they have guys that can't play, but to be honest with you, think back on the Michigan game. Let's think back on the Michigan game for a moment. And we talked about this on Monday after Michigan State rallied and beat Michigan. And I said, look, Michigan got out of character and threw the ball. There's a reason why they did. McNamara threw for 363 yards in the game. But I thought there was a certain point where they needed to rely on their running game, which is more their personality. Right? At some point. Okay? Do you get where you go back to what your personality is? And they never did. Now, they never did. So as simple as that. And that was the issue in that game. Now, I also go back to, I was talking last week about the college football playoff. As long as Michigan and Michigan State each had one loss, you had to rank Michigan ahead. You got to rank Michigan State ahead of Michigan. I said, until Michigan State gets that second loss. The reason I said that was I fully expected the second loss on Saturday. I'm sorry, there was just no way. We're sitting up in the booth, and we look over, and they said, it scores 30-something nothing at one point. And I think it was 35. It had to be 35. 35 nothing as in the second quarter. I said, there's still 5 minutes left. And all of us looked at each other, and nobody was surprised. Because when you look at teams, what's the matchup? It's all about matchups. How do I maximize my positive matchup, and how do I minimize my negative matchups? I'm looking at Garrett Wilson, Jackson Smith and Jigba, and Chris Olave, and I'm looking at that secondary for Michigan State, and I'm looking around saying, they don't have a shot in this game. The matchup's just bad. Now, you talk to the Penn State secondary guys, they'll tell you that they think the three best receivers they faced all season, the three best, rank them 1, 2, 3, were the three guys in the Ohio State game. You didn't ask them who the best secondary group was. I asked them which would be the best receivers they faced this year, and they all listed the three Ohio State guys as 1, 2, 3. There's no way Michigan State matches up with that group. No way. And as I said about Mel Tucker last week, Mel could be a great coach for all I know. I really don't know. I really don't know. But he coached 1 year at Colorado, so you have no real gauge on him there. He coached a COVID year at Michigan State. I have no gauge on him there. This season, he's done a terrific job, but he's done so with transfers, which is part of what they need to do. So that's fine. And also Mark D'Antonio's older recruits. I mean, that's how I look at it. I think Penn State's got a great shot on Saturday. But you got to get guys back. You got to get guys back. All right, we're going to talk more about... Now, Chad, by the way, is a 5'8" at Kappa. So you would have gotten the money.
I'll take the money.
Right. Now, the suit would have doctored his transcript to get the money. We all have our ways, Chad.
Mine is hard work.
Yours is hard work. Meanwhile, the suit works hard at doctoring documents. So he's eligible. He is so close to really applying himself in a positive way. He just needs our encouragement. I'm fresh out.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Setting up one of our guests for Friday's show. Friday's show will have two guests on it. One will be Dick Girardi. The other will be Jack Ham. That will be Friday's. That will be the two key guests on Friday's show. Jack Ham and Dick Girardi. Okay?
That sounds like must-listen-to radio to me.
The station wanted to do a Friday show, so I thought to myself, all right, let's do one that people will sit back and say, I've got to listen to it. And those are the two guests I came up with. There'll be others, but those will be the two primary guests. So as you're going around your Black Friday shopping, those will be our two guests on Friday. Jack Ham, Dick Girardi. Okay? We think it'll work. We think it'll work. By the way, the talk show is tomorrow night. James's talk show will be tomorrow night from 6:05 to 7. Now, who the other guest is, I don't know. I don't usually find out the other guest until the day of, the afternoon of. Okay. But that'll be tomorrow, just as a reminder. So game tonight, talk show tomorrow, and then Wednesday I got quarterback club on Wednesday. Yeah, holiday week. That's me.
Thankful for the work, huh?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Grateful for it very much. All right. So let's get back to this story about, and again, do people like to, this is a point that El Cuterone always made when he was on the show. Kevin always talked about, he said, I hate when you talk about money. He says, I think sports is about, you know, winning. And he's not wrong. He's not wrong. Okay? So when Kevin is saying, oh, I hate talking about money and the whole thing, to me it's about, you know, the game and the stories and things like that. And Kevin's not wrong. He is not wrong in any way, shape, or form. Nor am I wrong for bringing it up. I understand exactly where Kev's coming from. Completely. You don't think I want to just sit here and talk about the players, the stories, and things like that? I'd much rather do that. That's why when I'm sitting there doing a game, what am I not doing during the game when I'm broadcasting? I never once bring up money, ever. Okay? Never do I bring up money. Never, never. Because at that point, you're doing the game. And that's what it's all about. But money now surrounds us completely. The Penguins get sold. People wonder, am I going to keep my team? And you find out from us that there's a 7-year NHL rule, although John Henry's not going to move the Penguins. They're buying the Penguins because they think it's a great investment. But there are other places where they would wonder, what does it do to my team? What about the finances of my team? Pirates are out there every single year, and what are they trying to do? They're just trying to make money. They're not trying to win. They're not trying to win at all. They're just trying to make money and see if they can get away with something. Right? Their fans know it. And, of course, name, image, and likeness, the ability to get money. DJ Uiagalelei from Clemson, Spencer Rattler, Oklahoma, two quarterbacks, prominent in the offseason with name, image, and likeness. And neither one of them has had a really great season. So people are wondering, well, you know, with the money and everything, did they, you know, people are trying to put two and two together. I just think that neither one is as great as the world thinks they happen to be. So you got name, image, and likeness. You have cost of attendance. Now, one of the keys I thought was when they were going through the rules. I'll tell you the best rule that they put in of the new rules was the one where walk-ons got training tape. That, to me, was the best one. That's the one, if you're going to make a young person to get a locker, oh, by the way, we're running at 5:30 a.m., and they have to run. The weight training session is, your group is at 8:30, is at 8:30 this morning. Oh, by the way, you got to maintain your grade point average. And everything that goes with it. And you get to sweat every single practice like everybody else sweats. Nutrition is a part of your training. And so it's something that should have been done a long time ago. Okay, now that aside, let's get to the Ole Miss story. Alan Gordon. You're like, who's Alan Gordon? Alan Gordon is an Ole Miss long jumper and is an All-American. In fact, he was a finalist for the U.S. Olympic trials. Well, on Friday, he did something that had never been done before. He became the first Ole Miss athlete to get a check for $2,990 that the school is distributing to its players. Every October 15th and every March 15th, that number, $2,990, will go to each one of the 415 Ole Miss student-athletes that are academically eligible. It is believed to be the first such payment as part of the Supreme Court's landmark ruling granting schools the right to provide athletes additional financial support for academic achievements, up to a maximum of $5,980 per year. That's why the number he got was $2,990. That's half of it. The other half will be March 15th. Ole Miss is the first known school to start cutting such checks. They are splitting the distribution into two payments, one in the spring, one in the fall. Gordon was able to receive the payment because he was academically eligible. That's the only requirement needed at Ole Miss. Ole Miss athletes who met those academic requirements the previous semester and were on an active roster, walk-ons included, meet the criteria for the academic bonus. Now, the one thing they should know about the academic bonus is this. If you get an academic bonus, because it's listed as a bonus, it is taxable. So the student-athletes have to be aware of that. Ole Miss Athletic Director Keith Carter said this, "Everybody is going to do this. Everybody in the SEC will. We thought, let's get ahead of it." Dozens of schools around the country are also finalizing plans to begin distributing such checks to their athletes, some with stricter eligibility criteria. Just be eligible. The ACC, the SEC, the Pac-12, and the Big 12 have all announced they plan to allow their schools the right to determine how to handle the NCAA versus Alston ruling. If you had Alston plus 8, you came up short. Alston was a 9-0 shutout. When you can get Amy Coney Barrett, Clarence Thomas, right, and Brett Kavanaugh to agree with Elena Kagan, Sonia Sotomayor, and Stephen Breyer, you must have some slam dunk case. And they did. That opened the door for college athletes to start getting money, including name, image, and likeness. So now you get an assortment of education-related benefits. That includes unlimited graduate school, vocational, study abroad scholarships, paid internships, computers, equipment, and tutoring, and you can get up to $5,980 in cash for academic awards. The guy that put this together, when we had Jim Delaney on the show 3 years ago, I think. 3 years ago we had Jim on the show. We had Jim on the show like 4 or 5 times. And I said, Jim, for the lack of clarity, I'm just going to refer to it as the Kessler case. I said, and the only reason I'm doing that is that the plaintiff changes all the time based on eligibility. This time it turned out it was Alston. And he says, oh, okay, I get where you're going. And I said, yeah. So I always called it the Kessler case because he was the attorney. So Ole Miss is now going to spend $2.5 million each year for the additional payments for roughly 415 athletes. Now remember, Penn State has 800 of them. This year, the payments are being funded through the football season ticket sales. Lane Kiffin and the Rebs are 8-2 on the year. They drew more people this year. They generated more in ticket sales than expected. That's where the money's coming from. The bonuses will be cut October 15th, March 15th. I already mentioned that. Now, it doesn't quite... I'll tell you where it really will help certain. It's going to help no matter what. But if you are, say, a wrestler, and you are on a quarter scholarship, you are on a half scholarship, a third, whatever it may be, because you only have 9.9 to distribute, that means you're probably taking out student loans. Now, the athlete may not see the $5,980 because that money would automatically go to student loan payments. Anybody who's on a federal student loan, the money goes directly toward paying off their loan. That part's going to apply to many more athletes who are on partial scholarships as well as walk-ons. There are headcount sports such as football, men's and women's basketball, believe it or not, softball is too. Equivalency sports are the ones that allow a set number of scholarships to be split over a larger roster size. Okay? So wrestling has, I don't know, where they have 35 guys on the roster, 9.9. Now, not all of them are on scholarship, obviously, but they have to have quarters and halves and tenths and things like that. Baseball is 11.7 scholarships for 27 players. These academic payments are seen as a significant recruiting advantage in sports, an extra financial incentive for an athlete and his family. For instance, a full Ole Miss scholarship for an in-state athlete is worth about $25,000 when factoring in tuition fees, books, boarding, and other expenses. Penn State is more expensive than that. A baseball player on a 25% scholarship at Ole Miss, about $6,500, who received nearly $6,000 in academic bonus payments, would essentially have half of his scholarship covered. And only 25% of that would count against the team's athletic scholarship limit. The payments will also be an advantage in recruitment of walk-on players at every sport, including football. Because walk-ons will get these payments too. In 2015, the Power Five conferences passed a rule to allow scholarships to include the full cost of attendance, which I mentioned, which includes food, housing, travel, so forth. Schools determine monthly stipend amounts through a cost-of-living formula, producing a range that usually is between $500 and $2,000 a month. Many schools have taken a wait-and-see approach because they're not sure how the additional academic payment will impact the full scholarship. The U.S. Department of Education cast more doubt on the subject in an exchange last month with ACC officials. Sports Illustrated obtained documents on the exchange where Deputy Undersecretary Jordan Mustadera informed the league that these academic bonuses are considered like cost of attendance, part of an athlete's financial package. Mustadera wrote to officials that the academic payments are also taxable, which I mentioned, and must be reported on the FAFSA form. However, the payments will not impact an athlete's Pell Grant money. That's a separate, now, Pell Grants are grants. Carter says that his team at Ole Miss vetted all scenarios. Athletes at Ole Miss can get the academic bonus by 1, being enrolled, 2, being on an active roster, 3, retaining eligibility the previous semester, and 4, taking part in the school's life skills program called REBS. The low academic threshold was expected and even predicted by many, including Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby. He told Sports Illustrated this summer, it could be as simple as staying eligible. Every kid is going to get it. Whatever the lowest common denominator is, that's what it's going to be. And see, this is what Ole Miss has done. By Ole Miss doing this, they have set the bar at the lowest possible level. If you're sitting there saying, I'm only going to give it to 3-0s, I'm only going to give it to Dean's List, I'm only going to give it to graduates, you are going to lose them recruiting. Iowa State, by the way, is planning to deposit the payments into a trust to be dispersed to athletes once they graduate, an incentive to obtaining a degree. But again, here's the issue. The issue is people always want their money up front. They don't want it in a trust. And I'm telling you, this is going to be a recruiting disadvantage if you don't go along with the Ole Miss model. Interesting times. Back with more in a moment, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. We all know that Oklahoma and Texas are going to go to the Southeastern Conference at some point. One of the rivalry games in college football is Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. They play what's called the Bedlam game. Mike Gundy, the head coach at Oklahoma State, and Oklahoma State's having a very good year, says, I don't think in the future it's going to continue. He was interviewed by the Tulsa World. He says, I just don't think there's a business side of it. I don't make that decision. I guess the school president and the athletic director, they'll make that decision. They can do whatever they wanted. Or the board of trustees, I just don't know who's involved with this. I just don't think it's a realistic thing that's going to happen based on the business side of Power 5 conference football, Gundy said. That's just my opinion. There was a glimmer of hope, though. The SEC has an 8-game conference schedule, a requirement that every school play a Power 5 non-conference opponent every season. 4 schools, South Carolina, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, have non-conference games built into their schedules. South Carolina plays Clemson, Florida, Florida State, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Kentucky, Louisville. It's unclear how the SEC and Big 12 will structure their schedule requirements once the realignment dominoes have fallen. In the meantime, the Sooners and Cowboys meet Saturday. They're a pair of one-loss teams. They're hanging around in the neighborhood in the college football playoff. If Oklahoma wins, the two teams will then meet again for the Big 12 title in Arlington, Texas at Jerry World. If Oklahoma loses and Baylor falls to Texas Tech, it would also force a rematch. So there we go. Here's the story on maybe Bedlam going to the wayside. A lot of and by the way, this is going to be your the Big 12 and the Pac 12 will not have college football playoff teams. In fact, the Big 12, Pac-12, and the ACC will not have playoff teams. So it's 3 Power 5 conferences that will not have a playoff team. ACC, no way. All right. Pac-12, no way. Big 12, no way. So right now, the question is, who gets multiple? Is it the Big 10 or is it the SEC? Or is it possibly, believe it or not, Notre Dame? Michigan-Ohio State will have a loser. The loser of that game will have 2 losses. Alabama-Georgia? Okay. Georgia wins, Alabama would have 2 losses. You might have 2 lost teams in for the first time ever unless they decide to go with the one-loss formula. Does Oklahoma State run the table and get in? Does Notre Dame run the table and get in? I don't know. And you still have conference championship games. So that is where it stands. But right now, the top four is the same. I mean, the top four is going to be like this tomorrow. It is going to be, in my opinion, it's going to be Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, Alabama 3, Cincinnati 4. Ohio State will switch spots with Alabama. And Michigan will be the team that's at 5, and Notre Dame will be 6. And I expect Oklahoma State to be 7. So that's how I think it's going to break down tomorrow. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, motorcycle, boat. You go with the best in the business. That's Purdy Insurance. They'll do everything they can to save you money. And customer service means everything to them. Happy Thanksgiving from the Purdy family to your family. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.